Happy Sunday! Welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is Danielle Immerman, CMO here at The Reflective, and today we are bringing you a very special replay of an Instagram Live we had with Javi Brooke. Javi is based in Montana. She is an unbelievable educator and is a mother of teenage girls. We sat down with Javi to speak about how she navigates modesty in her own life and also with her teenagers. The teenage years are notorious for finding yourself, discovering yourself, and experiencing struggles with body image and how you feel in your own skin. So we really wanted to dive into the modesty and motherhood conversation with Javi to hear how she deals with her teenagers and their experience with modesty. She had incredible advice to give, and her story is really unique and really fascinating. So without further ado, here is Javi Brooke.
Tell us a little bit about who you are, your background with modesty, and your modest experience, and then we'll kind of transition into how you navigate modesty with your daughters and what that looks like.
Okay, perfect. So my name's Javi Brooke. I am a Chabad Shlucha, which is an emissary, which basically means my husband and I run the Jewish Community Center here in Bozeman, Montana. We moved there 15 years ago. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, doing the same thing, growing up in a Chabad family in outreach. So it's really interesting because I grew up religious and one of the only religious kids in my school and in my class. I went to a local Jewish day school, but it was a community day school. So it was really like there, it was 45 minutes of Judaic studies a day. Like that was the extent of, you know, Jewish. It was very, very non-denominational, but which kind of meant nothing, you know, but it was Jewish spirit. And we had Hebrew language, and that's how I grew up. And I grew up, you know, being the only kid in my class or in the school, you know, dressing modestly and keeping Shabbos and kosher and all that stuff. And so my experience is interesting because growing up that way, I literally like had zero resentment, zero struggle with it. I thank God my mom, like just as well, we loved clothes. We, you know, like I felt good about, you know, how I looked and what I was wearing. And it's very, very interesting because then I went away for school in eighth grade through high school. And then there was a uniform. And that was something that I was not used to. I really expressed myself through my clothing. So when there was a uniform, I really felt kind of stifled. Like I get why there's a uniform. And now as a mom, like, I get it because I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's so much easier, right? But as a kid, and my perspective was like, it was hard for me to wear the uniform, and it didn't really have anything to do with modesty per se, but it had to do with not being able to express like my personality through my clothing. So I ended up being known for my socks because that was like the one place where I could wear whatever I wanted. So I had the craziest socks and the most colorful socks. And I just went all out in the place that I was able to, because literally the only place I had to express myself was with my socks, you know? And, you know, I view that as, I think, you know, that's was my experience. And then you go to school, and then there's the whole like uniform, and then there's the tsnius police, right? The modesty, like, close your button, and then you're this, and it has to be, you know, your skirt has to be not too long, but not too short. And I feel like we lose kids that way. Like, it is like, why are you doing that, right? Like, so we'll get into that, but that's kind of my experience growing up. Like, I really, I feel grateful and lucky to say that I didn't have this like tug of war with as a young kid. And I think it's almost like as I get older, my struggle gets harder. I don't know. Like, and I think having teenagers and having kids in that stage doesn't make it easier. It actually complicates things quite a bit. I mean, at least for me.
I'm so fascinated by this. Like, first of all, I just want to point out that I also wore a uniform in high school, and I too found so much creativity in socks.
Oh
so
my God, we're soul sisters.
I think we are. I really had such a sock collection. It's so funny. Like now, I mean,
it's literally in the yearbook. Like that was my identity. Yeah. And you know, I think we do. We express ourselves through clothing, and the Tanya talks about that as well. Like the Hasidic Chabad philosophy is. Just like our soul has garments and clothing, which is our thought, speech, and action, the way we express ourselves. But why is it called clothing? Because clothing is one aspect of taking what's in our inside and bringing it outside. And if so, if you want to get to know someone, yes, it's on a superficial level. Yes, it's not the whole somebody, but you get to know somebody, especially if you're just first impressions, right? You get to know somebody and have one foot in the door by what they're wearing and how they present themselves and how they look, right? It's a very big deal.
Amazing. Yeah, it's so powerful to like have that connection between the external and the internal. And a lot of times, like I think at least for me growing up, I wasn't so aware of it. Yeah. And it's only once I started embracing modesty and really like being cognizant of what I was wearing that I found that connection between like, you know, my self-expression and the clothes I wear. And like a lot of people don't have that awareness just because like, yeah, there's a lot.
With the teenagers is that they might not know that that's what's happening, that they're connecting their insides and their outsides. And so they just, I think a lot of our youth is just feeling this visceral, like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to wear. And they don't even know why, right? Because it is their time to figure out who they are and express themselves. And when they feel stifled, then it turns into a whole experience, which is, you know, where we can, you know, where we can go with, I know you have a bunch of things you want to cover, but that's, you know, part of the journey.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect transition. So now we have like a little background on your personal connection to modesty and your experience with modesty growing up. Now I would love to transition over to your daughters and you know, background on, you know, them, their experience with modesty and how that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I have your relationship. It's a little bit of a problem because I know we have a time limit, but I'll try to be as concise as possible. But I do have a unique family in the sense that all my children are adopted. And so that does kind of bring a unique twist. And one of my oldest, not my first, she was adopted fourth, but she's the oldest. We adopted at 12 and she came from a background of non-practicing like at all, anything, right? So here's a 12-year-old coming into our home, which she knew and understood, you know, understood in a mind of a 12-year-old, right? What family she was joining and what our standards were and what, you know, how we lived our life. And I think, you know, coming into it, it was very exciting, but then having to really actually adopt to the rules is much harder than, you know, than actually just, oh, this is going to be great, right? And so she's 17 now. And so, you know, she's been part of our family for 5.5 years. And I can say that I have learned so much because in the beginning, you know, first of all, my oldest then was 7. So I was thrown into this like adolescent, preteen age. I wasn't really developmentally ready. You know, like I had, you know, I had no experience and I didn't know what I was doing, but I, you know, did the best I could and was true to myself in the best way possible. But I really kind of held those boundaries and held those standards. I'm like, this is what we do in our family. This is how we do it. You are being embraced by our family. You're part of our family. So this is how we dress. And, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't a problem. But as, you know, she's developing and growing older, and she's also in a public school, and she's the only one dressing that way, it started to get problematic. And she was getting really resentful. And, you know, there were times where I think she was going to school and then changing, you know, which for me was even worse. Cause I'm like, you know, then there's that secrecy and that like behind the back and feeling that you have to lie, you know, like I didn't want that happening. But on the other hand, I wanted her to do what was important to me. And there was a long journey. And I just can say that as I've grown older and more mature and understood what it because I didn't have that experience as a teenager. So it wasn't like I could pull back and be like, oh, I remember when I was 12, I felt this way, right? I didn't have that experience. So I was just like, what's the big deal? You know, like, even though I knew she was coming from a different background, but it was hard for me to relate to that angst about modesty, you know? So, and it was important. We had young kids and we had, you know, I wanted, you know, we had a certain way we lived our life. And, you know, as she got older and, you know, other stuff were coming up, and then it became like modesty, like, let's just, you know, stay alive and healthy, right? So that kind of went out the window. And she did go to Utah, and she did wilderness, and she, you know, did the things that she needed to do to be healthy. And when she came back transitioning home, I was really kind of worried. I'm like, okay, well, what is this going to look like? She had, you know, 18 months to really do whatever she felt was okay for her, but now she's transitioning back into the family. And, you know, I just have to say that the more I was able to put my feelings and myself aside and really kind of meet her where she's at, the better the experience became. And I have to say, like, even when she was 12, like, I was listening, right? And I was like, I know this is hard. Let's come up with ways to make it easier. And we would shop, and we would, like, it wasn't like I was shutting her down and like, this is the way it has to be. We were like really in the dialogue and really like, let's find a way. But just because it's hard doesn't mean we just give up, right? That was my message. Things are hard. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we give up. And this is what our standards are. And then, which was what I knew, you know? And I look back and I'm like, it's not, I don't regret doing it that way. But I, you know, I found a new way where I feel, you know, is what these kids are asking for, right? They just, they need to be on their journey, and they need to know that they're okay no matter what, right? And so, you know, my husband has a little bit of a different way of dealing with things. He's grew up in Brooklyn. He's a little bit more old school. So we have to kind of find a little bit of a balance. But I think it's a balance of finding the boundaries, right, of what you want, because it's okay to have boundaries in your home, but also like breathing and letting your child discover who they are for themselves. And, you know, that's just kind of, and what comes out of that is really beautiful. And so we have open dialogue. She's, you know, she does do well with boundaries. So she does follow like the certain guidelines that we have, you know, but within that, we're really pretty like, you know, do you kind of thing, right? Like, let's figure this out. So are we, you know, and it, so the one, so like one of the things I talked to her about is, okay, like, so I know it's really hard to cover your knees. So I just said, hey, how do you feel about, you know, if you want to wear a skirt that's a little bit above your knees, you're wearing tights too, right? So there's kind of this like, you know, and it wasn't like, this is what you have to do. I'm like, how do you feel about, like, does that work for you? Like, can you go with that? And she's like, yeah, that's fair. And the other thing was like certain things about like shul, like that she was coming to shul a little bit, you know, it bothered me a little bit the way that was happening. And so I also never say anything in the moment, right? Like that's also like, right. Like never be like, oh my God, you know, like different time, different place. Hey, like I noticed that this might be a little hard for you. Like what can I do to make it easier? Right. Or, you know, hey, I was wondering, I know like, you know, certain things like I'm totally okay with, but you know, maybe when you come to show, you're just a little bit more sensitive in this area. And how do you feel about that? Like, how does that make you feel? Do you think you can do that? And then they become part of the journey, and it is their journey. And I think we have to understand and realize that by having this like vice grip on this thing called modesty is really doing the opposite of what we want to accomplish. And I just was speaking to a friend. I'm like, it's kind of like saying drugs are illegal, right? When drugs are illegal, it is so much more enticing. It is so much more of a problem. But when you legalize drugs, all of a sudden, I mean, obviously just the people are still going to participate, but it's less like I'm going to rebel, you know, like, anyways, I just did a lot of talking.
No, it's so funny. 'Cause like while you were speaking, I was looking at my notes like, oh, she's actually answering all my questions. This is amazing. Yeah, I'll just sit back and like take it in.
Yeah. And I have a, you know, and then I have my my other daughter who goes to camp, right? A religious camp. And she, you know, we've had her from an infant. So she's grown up with the modesty and dressing a certain way. And she's really sensitive to it, actually. And she goes to camp. And there's this person who walks around camp who's just like, you have to like choke yourself, right? You have to, there's always a sneeze problem. And the problem with that is that these kids are modest. They're wearing modest clothing. What are you doing, right? And she comes home scared of her own shadow, worried that she's literally going to go to hell if her button's open. And she's a kid that's already has body image stuff. And so she's now hiding behind modesty to hide herself. And I feel like I have to, it's like a month of deprogramming. Like, wow. What are you doing to our children? Like, you're pushing them the other direction, or there's more body image issues. And then you're telling these kids not to be scared of their own body, right? To cover everything over so much that it's a crime. So here I am, like, you think, oh, great, she's extra modest. But if you scratch the surface, this isn't about enjoying modesty or embracing it or appreciating it. This is pure fear of what's going to happen to them and of their own body, and what happens if they're like, I caught my daughter going swimming in socks. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? This is what we do in camp. I'm like, get out of the pool, take off those socks. And she's literally scared to. I'm like, no, like, this is not healthy. And then we wonder why our kids have a visceral reaction to modesty, because you're suffocating them. So we need to do something different. We need to do something different. Is modesty important? Yes. Can modesty be translated in a million different ways? Yes. Different communities have different standards. Different homes have different standards, you know, and guess what? They're all in the confines of halacha. They're all in the confines of, and there's so many different ways to translate what the actual halachas are, what the actual laws are, that we have to teach our children that, first of all, teach them what the laws are, number one, and then teach them what's a sensitivity, why different communities do things differently, like, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like, if you don't feel like you can handle a certain level of modesty, doesn't mean you don't need to or you can't relate to any of it at all. Am I making sense? See, you get me, right? You asked one little question and I'm like, here I go.
No, I think this is so important, because this is not the first time that I've heard of, you know, camps or schools imposing a certain mentality around modesty that more or less does feel restricting and oppressing to the teenage girl.
Yeah. And what is modesty about? Did anyone ever ask themselves that question? What is modesty about, right? And it's not about to protect the men from bad thoughts. Like, that's their job, right? What's modesty? Modesty is about appreciating and loving and recognizing that your body is a piece of God, right? And that you are lucky to be in this world and be a light and a godly being. How would you treat that body, right? And so I was talking to one of my friends today, because I was talking about this live, and I'm like, all fired up. And she was saying, like, you know, you have the kibbutznikim, right, who are in loose pants and flowy clothing, and are, you know, maybe their scarves are a little bit back, but they're beautiful souls who are connected and spiritual and connected to God. And then you have the religious kids walking out with skin tight clothing. They might be covering their knees and they might be covering their elbows, but they're not modest, right? So is it the letter of the law, or is it like, what are we trying to do here? Bigger picture, right? And things are not black and white, right? black and white is where we get ourselves into trouble. Then we say good, bad, wrong, right. Like the world does not work that way, right? And what's okay, what works for one person is not okay for the other person. What's okay for one community doesn't work for another community, right? Like there's a continuum. There's a, what's the word I'm looking for? The spectrum. And all of those different customs fall onto a spectrum of modesty.
Exactly. It's so funny. I was actually having a conversation last night for our podcast, and we were discussing how modesty is really thought of as a binary. Like you're either modest or you're not. And right. The more, you know, covered up you are, the more like modest and holy you are. No, like modesty is non-binary. It is full of gray area and it is not right or wrong, exactly like you're saying. And I guess my question to you would be, as a mother, how do you find the balance between allowing the room for that gray area and that self-discovery that your daughters need to go on in order to find their personal connection to modesty, while also serving as a guiding force and showing them a certain, I guess, endpoint or a certain, like, you know, goal to strive towards?
I think there's a time, like, let's say from 0 to 12, where it's our responsibility to educate and to teach the laws, right? Like, how are they going to know if you don't teach them, right? So then those are the years where you teach knowledge, you learn the chum, you learn the books, you learn the halachas, you learn the texts, right? And they're also minors, right? And so it's easier to have, like, this is the way we do it, and still open for, but like kind of 0 to 12, you don't usually see so much struggle in those years. That's your time for education, right? That's why they're not responsible for themselves yet, right? Because they, you know, they're still under your guidance, right? But bas mitzvah, once they turn 12, that's kind of where you need to let them fly a little. And, you know, and I'm not going to, this has been it's a huge struggle, because you have to set yourself aside and be like, this is how I would love them to live. This is how I would want them to be. This was my experience, right? And it's not necessarily going to be their experience. And the more, you know, I got pushed into learning about this more just because of my family experience and trauma and, you know, all that stuff. You're just kind of forced into that thought process, right? But, and it really applies to everything. And it's, you need to really ask yourself. I ask myself, I talk to my husband about this all the time. I'm like, okay, bigger picture. What is the end game? Like, what do we want for our children, right? And it's really humbling. And it's really like, it could be painful, right? But I do believe that if you give them the space to ask the questions, and it's okay to say, you know, that you can ask the questions and explore. And if you want to hold a boundary, hold a boundary. But, you know, before you hold that boundary, ask yourself, what's the end game here? And so many times when we give a little breathing space, they don't feel that stifling need to rebel because they have room. So it's a little bit like an antidote, right? Like, just let them figure it out. Like, so my kids ski, right? And one of my kids is wearing ski pants and a ski jacket. And one of them is wearing a ski skirt over her pants. And so someone messaged me like, you know, why is one of your kids in pants? And she's just curious, like super respectful, just wanting to hear my thoughts. And I'm like, listen, you know, the one who has a ski skirt on is really important to her. And she wanted the ski skirt and she's, you know, over bas mitzvah and, you know, it came from her. My other daughter is kind of oblivious to these things and really just, you know, it's hard to ski in a skirt. And she just didn't really show interest in that or in that need for that. And, you know, I kind of just let it be like, whatever. And then the other day she asked me, she's like, mommy, is it more modest to wear a skirt over your ski pants? And you have to understand, like, she is a little bit special needs. Her brain works differently. So I just wanted it to be something that when she understood, it came from her. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, I mean, it could be considered more modest. Like, how, like, is that something that you would want to do? She's like, oh, yeah, maybe. And I said, okay, well, she's also very tiny and the ski skirts are only in adult sizes. So I'm like, hey, if I find one in your size, I'll get you one, right? But it came from her, right? And it's a little bit of a different situation because she's, you know, her brain is processes things on a different level, but the same idea can be applied, right? Like, let them be part of it, right? Let them feel it. Let them want it, right? And also, like, we don't get anywhere by lectures, right? And by preaching. So you want, like, your kid to see something, then you have to do it, right? And that was hard for me because I'm like, okay, now I have these, my kids are getting older, right? And now I have to lead by example and I have to dress the way that I want them to dress or whatever. And sometimes I struggle. I'm like, I really don't want to, you know, wear socks with my sneakers or whatever. And I have to ask myself, well, what's the message I want to send? And am I living my authentic, you know, life? And I do struggle with like modesty. I do. There's certain things that are super hard for me. And that's the other message that I send my kids. Like, I do feel, I know we're all about the feel good, right? Like, we want to feel good. And I think it's important. And teenagers especially need to feel good. And Judaism is hard with that because we want Judaism to feel good because it can, but sometimes things don't feel good, right? And where's the line of pushing, like, do it anyway, because it's the right thing to do? Because we have things like that in the secular world too, right? We do things that we don't always want to do because it's the right thing, right? Or do we only do what feels good? Right. And that's the conversation I have with my kids. I'm like, this is hard. Right. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to do it. Right. But it also means, like, if you are not doing something and if you don't feel like you're ready for this particular experience, then just own it. Right. Just say, this is hard. Right. Instead of making the million excuses and I don't have, you know, just, I want my kids to say, like, this is hard. I'm not there. And I'm okay with that, right? This is hard. And so many, like, just, this is hard. And even sometimes if we just acknowledge that it's hard, then some of that angst goes away. And they're like, okay, yeah, it is hard. But do I want to do it or not, right? Is it important to me or not? Is it part of my values or not? So open dialogue. Talk to your kids about this stuff, right? See where they're at. Why are they feeling the way they're feeling about modesty? If they're having such a visceral reaction, I promise you that it's coming from something, right? And that needs to be honored and respected.
I love that. I mean, everything you're saying is resonating so deeply with me. And I think there are so many takeaways that, like, I'm going to even have within my own relationship to modesty as well. And I love what you said earlier in the conversation. I think it, like, really loops in here as well, is that, like, pose things as questions. Like, nothing has to be a command. You're not commanding your child to wear a skirt that's 2 inches below her knee. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Asking.
And the other thing is that I think it's important for kids to understand is, like, this is actually your relationship between you and God, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so we have sometimes, well, I just want to, you know, I want to make you happy or I want to whatever. And I'm like, it's not about me, right? It's not about how I feel about this. It's about how you feel about this. And it's about how you want your relationship to be with God, right? So sometimes I think it's also like, it could be toxic when they're only doing the things to please you, right? Because they don't want to make you upset and to please you. And then the second that they have a bit of freedom, it's all out the window because it was never about their relationship with God. It was always about you, right? And so if they're scared to disappoint you, if they're worried about what you're going to say or feel or think, then that's playing into how they're moving in the world, right? And I mean, I've had this experience of, like, what my kids, like, or one of them or some of them or whatever, at any different moment, like, I don't want to make you upset, I want to please you, I want to make you happy. And on the one hand, you're like, wow, that's great, thank you. But if you scratch the surface, that is not a foundation to build anything on, right? And that is just going to lead to so much trouble. And so, I mean, just the other day, my, you know, It had nothing to do with modesty, but my daughter was scared that we caught her doing something that she wasn't doing, and it was just, it looked like she was doing and whatever. And God bless my, I was in Denver with ZC, so God bless my husband's soul. And he, you know, he did an awesome job. And he's like, this is not about me, right? This is about you and your relationship with Hashem. You don't have to worry about me in this process, right? So I think we forget that. I think we forget that our little humans are humans for themselves, and they don't owe you anything. And their journey is, I mean, I hope they should respect you and honor you. That's part of the Ten Commandments. But, you know, their journey is going to be their journey. And the more we're there to hold them and witness them and be a part of their journey, then the safer they're going to feel to explore what they're going to explore. And, you know, it was a couple of months ago, one of my daughters was talking to me, and she was telling me about, she wanted to talk to this person about this and this person about that. And I said to her, I said, listen, I'm all for finding the people that you need to talk to about your journey. And I said, I'm here for however little and or however much you want me part of this, right? She, you know, and that's, you know, like I said, 0 to 12, it's more our job. And even, you know, the early teens, like, we still have a bigger impact on our life, but there's going to be a time where they're going to have to find who they are for themselves. And do you want them to include you in that? Do you want them to feel safe no matter what? That's my ultimate goal, is that my kid will come to me and feel safe with anything, you know? And I don't always succeed at that. Like I said, like, this has been a journey for me. I had to work really, really, really hard to get it. And even now, like, it's always like a gut punch first. It's like, oh, you know, like, this is, I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with this, right? And then you're like, deep breath. This isn't about me, right? This isn't about me.
Someone wrote in the comments earlier, Javi for president, and I have to agree. I really think it's time that you run.
I definitely can talk. I can talk enough. Like, I've got that down pat.
It's like, while this whole conversation has been advice to women who are struggling with supporting their daughters in, you know, their journey with modesty, I'm wondering, like, what, you know, as a few takeaways before we part, what your advice would be. If you have, like, any advice that you received when you were going through your journey and, you know, navigating modesty with your daughters, or if you just in general have one piece that really helped you.
Well, I mean, I think we're really like, the generation that we're in does matter, and things are not the same that they used to. And we're trying to hold on to a certain way of doing things, and it's not serving anybody well. And our kids, our young teenagers, like, I talk about this all the time. Like, we need to open our eyes. If there's a pandemic that is happening, it's a pandemic of our youth not feeling safe and just being so troubled and, like, just struggling, right? And it all plays together. And why are we doing the same, like, we adapt, right? Even from 100 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the halachas are not, you know what I'm saying? They adapt per generation. And so why are we so stuck in doing things the old way? So why are we in schools hounding our kids when they're in a uniform and they're modest, right? Why are we making it worse? Why are we making them feel so resentful that all they want to do is go away? Teach your children the beauty of their body. Teach your children, you know, why are we doing this, right? What is the purpose of modesty? And don't make it about the men. Like, that's the sure way. Like, I'm going to show you, right? Like, this, and then that's so sexist. And the generation, we can't handle that. We're strong women. We don't want to be some kind of, you know, responsible for, you know, other people's feelings and emotions. Like, that is not what this is about, right? And then we want to, how do we protect our children? Like, from the scary world out there, right? Like, oh, like open, own your body, own what's safe and what's not safe. If we're so busy just about covering who we are and covering up and don't show an inch of this and don't show an inch of that, we fall prey to really bad things, you know? And I hold modesty as a value. Like, it is an important value to me. So if the message that you're hearing is throw modesty out the window, that's not the message that I'm trying to send. I'm trying to send, go deeper than just the cover your elbows, knees, and collarbone. Like whatever the standard of your community is, go deeper, right? Like, why are we doing this? What does this mean? Instill the love for your relationship with God, right? And make it fun and creative. Like, sometimes I find, like, hey, like, this is a challenge, right? Like, how do I find the things within my modesty values that make me feel good about myself, but still hold to my standard, right? Like, it's not an easy task sometimes, right? And so make it fun, go shopping, you know, and listen to your kids, listen to the messages that are under what they're telling you, right? So if they're having a struggle with a part of modesty, find out what's beneath that. What is under that? And understand what's under that. And then deal with that. And I promise you the modesty issue is going to take care of itself. Because it's never really about the clothes.
Exactly. It's about what's lying underneath. I love that. It's about the inside. The
right.
Internal.
And like I said, we express. So if you have a kid that is goth, right? Gothic, right? So it's a style and a whatever, but there's something going on inside of them, that rebellious thing, or they want it, you know, they want that attention, or they want, right? Or you have a child like who's wearing a huge sweatshirt over their clothes all day long and hiding. There's a reason why they're doing that. Why are they doing that, right? And you could say, oh, wow, she's so tenacious, like she's so modest. We're missing the point here, right? Like, this is not a healthy thing, right? So always ask yourself, what is the underlying? Nothing happens in a vacuum. I know we like to say sometimes, oh, this has nothing to do with that, and this has nothing to do with this. It all has to do with everything. We're an organism that, just like, you know, if you're feeling sick in your body, it's usually, you know, it's very connected to what you're feeling in your emotions. Like, everything is connected. So just my best advice is be curious, right? Be curious. Why is this happening? And I'm not saying it's easy, right? As moms, like, we want to control, we want them to be happy, we want them to do everything right, we don't want them to suffer, we don't want them to fall and hurt themselves, we don't, you know, but it's never going to work. It's never going to work, right? So the faster we get to that place where we are aware that we cannot control, and that's also something that you can tell your kids. You can be like, hey, like, these are my boundaries, right? I can't force you to do anything. And there's certain things, like with curfew, right? Like, this is curfew. This is a curfew. If you miss curfew, then you have to hand in your keys, right? Like, so I think it's more complicated when religion plays. It's much harder to hold boundaries as far as religion is concerned. And I don't know it's as important, right? Because boundaries are like for life and death situations and safety. Like, that's where boundaries are important. I think we have to, I always, you know, whoever follows me knows Brad Reedy is one of my mentors. And he says, like, you can hold a boundary, right? And you have as a parent, you have every right in the world to hold whatever boundary you're holding. Just know why you're holding the boundary that you're holding. Right? Because sometimes we're just like, nope, 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 nope. And we're not even asking ourselves, well, why are we holding that boundary? Right? So just be curious. Like, and a boundary is also to do with you, right? Like, I am not okay with, and dot, 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 right? So that's my message. Like, be curious. Stay focused on the end game. Understand what's going on. Like, just be part of the journey. Be the safety net for your kids, right? Be the place where they can come and tell you, like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this, and help me.
Thank you so much for being you. I am blown away right now.
I don't know. It took a lot of trial and error. And I'm sure if you ask my kids, they'll be like, she's the worst, you know? But I did come a long way. Like, I did come a long way with a lot of hard work. And, you know, I see the value in letting go a little, you know, just letting go a little and honoring our kids, especially our teenagers, because, you know what, they know better, right? Like, in that stage of life, you're not going to know better than them, right? And they're going to have to figure it out for themselves. So,
parenting book, because I would love to purchase it.
maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified for that, but I definitely have a lot of interesting life experiences that I don't feel ashamed to share, right? Like, we're all doing the best we can. We're all navigating. And I'm telling you survive the teenage years. It is pretty heroic. and we have to do the best we can.
We do the best that we can with the tools that we have. And you gave us a few tools.
For how I did it 5 years ago, because I'm like, I did the best I could with the information that I had. Right. And now I have more information and I know more and I am aware of more. So I'm doing it differently. Right.
Exactly. And now you just gave us a few more tools. So we are so grateful. And I am so excited to have you back here.
As you can see, I can go on for forever. So
these conversations are so important. And I think it really, like you touched on it a little bit, but the way that modesty is typically taught is just, it's not serving us. And I think, you know, really exploring the depth of it is so important. And, you know, your perspective is, you know,
really affected my choices for summer camps for my kids, because I'm like, I cannot have them come home and be so down and so have such a negative experience with modesty, because they're modest. These kids are wearing, like, what are you doing to them? Why are you doing this? That's when you know, like, it's just, why? What are you accomplishing? And what is even the purpose? And what's your end game? Like, what is this? It's a problem.
Yeah.
We need to do better. We need to do better.
Yeah. I would love to talk to you. Part 2.
Part 2 topic.
I think it's so important, and I think there's so much about modesty that, you know, we don't understand as a whole, and diving into and asking questions and remaining curious, like you said, like, that's just what it is. Like, we have to always ask why we're doing what we're doing.
Sometimes, you know, things, I don't know. I don't have kids that are like, what you see is what you get. Like, there's always something deeper. And I think a lot of kids are like that. Like, it's not always what you see at face value. So just, there's always, like, ask yourself why, right? Like, And try to be a role model, but also instill the joy, right, in the way you dress and, you know, the shopping and the, like, we want this to be, like I said, I know Judaism isn't a feel good religion, but it could be, right? It could be if we do it right, right? Like, we could love what we're doing if we're taught that why we're doing it, and this is, you know, this is how you can embrace it for your particular journey. And it's not black and white. I'm doing a live on that, hopefully next week. The world is not black and white. Stop trying to make things black or white. That's my message to the world.
Hear, hear. Amen. The world is not black and white.
It's not black and white.
It's full of colors and gray areas. And with that,
fight for some. One person is not right for the other person. What's right for Mayor Sharam is not right for Brooklyn and, you know, or Lakewood, or Bozeman, Montana, right? Like, it's just not all, it's not a one size fits all in anything in Judaism. It's all in the confines of halacha. It's all in the confines of moving in the same direction, but there's so many different ways to go about that.
Exactly. I was going to say, we could go so far as to say everything's tailor-made, but it's, yeah, that would be elaborate. That would be very elaborate.
Yeah. But you can embrace Judaism. And like, I actually just taught in Tanya, every person has a mission in this world, right? And it's unique to that person. So we're not like, you know how you say like nobody's indispensable? Actually, nobody's dispensable. One person cannot do the mission that the other person didn't do. Only we can do what we're meant to do here in this world. So what does that mean? We all have a unique journey. We all have a unique task. We all have a unique purpose for why we're in this world, and nobody can do it for you. Right? So if you don't, that's why we have reincarnation of the soul, because if your soul didn't finish your job and it comes back, right, into another body, but somebody else can't do your job. Right? So why am I saying this? Because just like everyone's mission's unique, the way they're going to go about their relationship with God is going to be unique. And the way I do something doesn't mean it's going to be the way you do something or that resonates with you. And yes, I will reiterate, yes, there's halacha, there's Torah, there's this is all in the guidelines of God's word and God's books. But there is, I mean, 70 faces to the Torah. Like, did you ever meet, even in Rashi, Ramban, all those things, did you ever meet one of them that agreed with each other? All in the confines of halacha. They're all right. They're all right.
I love it. And so too, we should all dress differently. We shouldn't all look the same, because we're all different.
You know, if we tried.
Yeah.
I guess you could, kind of. But we should all find the joy in our relationship with God that allows us to want to express ourselves in a way that is godly and that feels right and spiritual and connected to you. And we should do that in a way that is joyful and fun and shouldn't feel like this huge chore, right? Like, I bless everyone that we can get there, because when we can, it's a whole different experience.
You're amazing. Thank you so much, Javi. I can't wait to do it with you. And I think we should do a whole series on like, what is modesty, where we will really dive into it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It was such a pleasure. And you guys are just doing something that is so needed in the world. I hope, and I think, you know, this is, I don't know how many teenagers are on this platform, but we need to do that. We need to do this for our teenagers and our children. Like, that's what they need. They need that place to express themselves, to feel like there's options, right? And there's ways for them to explore their journey with God in the path of modesty in a really great way.
Exactly. And you know what we're trying to do and like what we're here for wouldn't be possible without women like you who are willing to share their thoughts and their perspective and their experiences. So really, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to More Than a Hemline. Please shoot me an email at danielle@the-reflective.com with your thoughts and takeaways from this episode. I would absolutely love to hear from each and every one of you. If you liked this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on the podcast player of your choice. The only way we can work towards making modesty mainstream is by amplifying our collective voice as a community. So please, please, please take the time to leave us a quick review and subscribe so that we can move on up in the charts. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you back here next week.